tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory with another episode of NPE Radio. You can find my website with all the articles and podcasts and recipes at www.naturopathicearth.com, naturopathicearth.com. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at naturopathearth, and you can find me on Instagram at naturopathic_earth. So welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. So today we're going to talk about sunscreen because it's the summer. Over here in Texas, we're already in the upper 80s, low 90s. And we've been getting a lot of rain, which is great. But if you live up in Minnesota, or definitely where I used to live in Alaska, it's probably not summer yet. It's summer in terms of getting the sunlight, but you're definitely not getting the heat. So why do we wear sunscreen? It's kind of the same question that you ask, well, people, why do they drink milk? Or why do you wear makeup? Or why do you use deodorant? You know, it's because it's good for our bones, you know, milk. Or because we've always worn it. You know, we don't really question these things as to why do we lather all this crap on us. And like with deodorant, it's like, well, I mean, there is aluminum in that, you know. I'll ask my teenage girls or my students, like, why do you wear makeup? Because we have to wear, you know, you never step back and ask these like fundamental questions as to why do we do the things we do. And I'm not saying like, why do we breathe? But why do we take on this crap? Do you even know what's in that crap? No, you don't. And it's the same thing with sunscreen. So today we're going to talk about the issues with sunscreen, what it's preventing, and then some non-natural alternatives. Okay. So the big problem with sunscreen is that it's got two kind of classes of ingredients that we need to be worried about. One of them is going to be oxybenzene. So if you look at, oxybenzone. When you look at the back of your sunscreen, now go grab it now. You know, go grab your SPF 45. Now, the number behind the SPF is just telling you how many times more protection you're getting. Your skin is getting than regular to no exposure. So SPF 0 is like walking out there with nothing. So SPF 45 is 45 times more protective. Okay, so oxybenzone. Oxybenzone is found in the large majority of sunscreens. And the problem with oxybenzone, and it's got its sister chemicals like octinoxate, that's another one, hamosalate, octisalate. So any of these sounding familiar, they're going to be on the back because they're the active ingredient of about 80% of the sunscreens. Now, the problem with them, and also the problem with the sunscreens too, that's an active ingredient you'll see on the top. The inactive ingredient, a lot of them have parabens. Now, if you guys know anything about parabens are kind of the sister category that are related to plastics as well. And they're endocrine disruptors. But let's focus on oxybenzone. Oxybenzone is found in about 90% of Americans' urine. Okay, it's kind of like BPA. We've talked about BPA is detected like 95% of Americans' urine. Oxybenzone is the same thing. And it's detected in higher in people that, of course, use sunscreen because that's the main place we're getting this active ingredient. But it's found pretty much in every American. It's found in the mother's milk. So when you're nursing, you're going to find it there. The Environmental Working Group, which I always, you know, I love that place. I love that site. They do the Dirty Dozens. They have a database on plastics. And they have a great app on cosmetics. Anyways, they rate oxybenzone as an 8 out of 10 on hazard score. And the main reason is that it's a hormone disruptor. It's one of the thousands of freaking hormone disruptors that we find on the market, either in the form of plastics or parabens or phthalates, you find in vinyl, or in sunscreen and all the other chemicals, all the other consumer products, bathroom products that we use all the time, like lotions and shampoos and whatnot. So the problem with oxybenzone is that there's many studies showing that it lowers sperm production in teenage boys. And it's associated with endometriosis in women. And I mean, there's even some beliefs that it's a known carcinogen. Now, the World Health Organization has a three-level carcinogen scale. Level one is known carcinogen, like radiation. Level two is going to be likely to cause cancer. And level three is may cause cancer. Now, oxybenzone has been known to be put in level three. Okay, and if you keep up with conspiracy theories, they'll tell you that oxybenzone is a carcinogen that they are putting in sunscreen. Now, most independent studies will not reveal that. And of course, if you go to, you know, the American Skin Cancer Institute, they'll say, oh, that's nonsense. But they're so bought out by big pharma and big medicine that they'll tell you that there's no connection between any of these chemical craps that we put on our skin causing any problems at all. I mean, this is still coming from like the American Diabetes or American Heart Association that says that, you know, that you should not be eating bacon and eggs, even though there's no connection between heart disease and eating bacon and eggs. So I really don't give them a lot of credence as to what they're saying because they're completely bought out. But at the same time, I wouldn't say that necessarily oxybenzone is a carcinogen. I will say that it is a known hormone disruptor. And we know that introducing xenoestrogens or fake hormones in the body alters the sex hormones depending on what age you're at. So when you're young, it can throw off your puberty. It either makes you grow, it hypersexualizes you, so you get larger breasts than normal, can cause gynecomastia in boys, but typically it's going to affect fertility. And when you think about like how often are we lathering oxybenzone and parabens onto our body in the summer, every day, you know, it could be with the lotions or the plastics for several years. And that's why they can detect it in our urine and in the mother's milk. So it's found everywhere. So there's a lot of studies that I could quote, but we're going to try to keep these kind of short. But let me think. There's a 2004 study that showed that oxybenzone lowers male sex hormones. That was in 2004. Yeah. There was a study that came out of the University of Zurich. Same thing. Oxybenzone in mother's milk, and it affects the newborn fetus. Now you're thinking, well, I lathered on oxybenzone sunscreen when I was pregnant. My kid's fine. But yeah, this goes back to, well, how do we know how fine your kid is? Okay, it could develop problems later on, or it could be even better had it not had, you've been lathering this up, just like if you were drinking out of plastics when you were pregnant or eating a lot of MSGs or all the other known toxins. And that's not to guilt you or shame you or anything like that. It's just that then these ingredients are in there and we need to know. That's the whole point of this podcast and website is awareness. So it has a pretty high rate of skin allergies as well. So some of you might have allergies. It can flare you up. So stay away from oxybenzone. Now, when you're looking on the back, you're going to think they all have oxybenzone. But let's step away. Okay, so that's the thing you need to worry about. So when you look at your sunscreens, and again, most of them are going to have oxybenzone, you want to not get one that has oxybenzone. Okay, but let's step away. The bigger issue with sunscreen is that it's preventing, especially if you get one that protects from UVA. Now, UVB is going to be the ultraviolet that actually helps produce vitamin D. But UVA is bad for us. It is bad for us. So if you're going to use sunscreen, use one that have UVA protection. But the thing about UVA is that we get it all the time. You know, anytime walking through the sun or walking around during the day, and sunscreen itself isn't necessarily going to protect you from UVA because we're getting it all the time. So it's like a cost-benefit analysis. Should you be lathering on this crap, even though it might necessarily protect you when there's better ways to protect you? So let's talk about vitamin D. So vitamin D is produced by the sun. It's actually a steroid that's made by our skin. And the way I tell my children about it is like it superpowers you because vitamin D, I take it orally. along with vitamin C and magnesium. But vitamin D is so crucial. First of all, Americans are deficient in vitamin D. It's a major deficiency in America. It's about 80% of Americans are deficient in vitamin D, along with magnesium. Magnesium really doesn't get a lot of the love. But what do we know about vitamin D? It supports cardiovascular health. Okay, it's great for your bones. It optimizes your blood pressure. And we know it's a strong antioxidant. It fights against cancer. It fights against diabetes. It strengthens your immune system. It is extremely important to be high in vitamin D. So we have this gigantic ball in the sky that helps us produce vitamin D. So get sunlight. And the thing is, when you're wearing all this sunscreen, it's inhibiting the development of vitamin D. Now, like right now, I take my kids to the pool for like 2 hours. And I don't lather them up in sunscreen. I remember reading an article that Gisele Bündchen, the supermodel, the Brazilian supermodel, she doesn't put sunscreen on her kids either. You know, Tom Brady, if you know anything about her husband, Tom Brady, the quarterback, he has this crazy, crazy diet. It's like, of course, no sugar, no dairy, you know, the typical no grain. You know, a lot of people are like that. But he doesn't eat any tomatoes because apparently they're nightshades and they can affect your optimal health, optimal strength. So he has like this super specific diet that he's been on for like 20 years. But this kind of reminds me of like oncologists. Like if you ever saw that poll on oncologists or cancer treaters, like very few of them would give their own family members chemotherapy if they got cancer because they know chemotherapy is so toxic. So it's kind of the same thing. So you see a lot of these richy people who are like in the know. They'll be like, oh, I'm not going to give my kid that crap. You know, let the people do it. I'm not going to do it. So there are people, there is an awareness that sunscreen is toxic. But the bigger question is, the sunscreen's toxic, but then it's also inhibiting vitamin D. And vitamin D is so important. So when I go to the pool, going back to that, because I know I went on a circuitous route, I don't put sunscreen on my kids. I really don't see a point. We're not out there for 8 hours, first of all, because I got, you know, four kids under six. So they can't be out there forever. But I don't wear it, and I want the vitamin D. Now, if you want to protect yourself from UVA, just get in the shade and wear clothing. That's actually much more effective than protecting than using the toxic sunscreen. So it's really a cost-benefit analysis. So when you wear sunscreen, you're worrying about the endocrine hormone disruptor, the sex hormone disruptor, the thyroid hormone disruptor, plus you're not getting vitamin D. So I'd rather just not wear sunscreen at all and get all the vitamin D. I mean, honestly, you get something like 10,000 IUs of vitamin D just in 20 minutes. And you can't overdose on, you know, the sun's ability to produce vitamin D through your skin. And it just feels good. You know, when you're outside, you just feel like you're getting energized. Like I tell my kids, like you're getting the power of the sun and you feel good. Now, of course, you get to the point where you can get dehydrated and you can be out there too long. But that raises a bigger question. It's like, why are you sunbathing for 8 hours in the first place? So my recommendations, if you are going to use a sunscreen, you want to get the sunscreens that are going to be mineral-based. So there's two types. There's the chemical ones like oxybenzone and its sister ingredients. And then you have the mineral-based ones. And the mineral-based ones have been shown to at least not be dangerous to your health. It's kind of like stevia. It's like stevia and MRIs. I'm just waiting for those studies to come out that say, they were kind of bad. But right now, the oxides are not considered to be bad. So if you're going to use one, I would personally use one that has zinc oxide or titanium dioxide on as the active ingredient. But you're going to have to look very carefully. These are very hard to find. Even a lot of the green bottles, the organic bottles that say that they are organic, you got to look on the back. So look on the back. So instead of the active ingredient being oxybenzone, it's going to say zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. So this is what I would do. Buy that, especially if you're going to be out in the sun or you and your kids for more than 2 hours, use sunscreen. Honestly, if you're under 2 hours, I wouldn't even wear it. Don't even wear it. But let's say you're going to wear it or, you know, you want to hedge your bets or you don't believe what I'm saying. Buy sunscreen that has zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. Now look at the bottom at the inactive ingredients. Make sure it doesn't have methylparaben or propylparaben or any paraben. And then really just put it on your face because UVA or sun does age your face very fast. doesn't really age your body. And most of your body, you want it to be exposed to the sun because that's where you're going to get all the vitamin D production. So if you're worried about getting burnt by the sun or skin cancer, then put the oxide mineral-based ones, supposed to put it mostly on your face, and wear clothing and hats. Okay, just very common sense. Put hats on your kids or wear a shirt, a white shirt. You know, a lot of people do that already. Wear white shirts in the pool or if you're just sunbathing, you know. These are just common things. Just stay away from the toxic sunscreen. And the last thing I want to mention is the rate of skin cancer has shot up dramatically in the last 100 years. And one of the beliefs is, well, you know, it's because, you know, we're not wearing sunscreen. We didn't have sunscreen. No. 100 years ago, and I can't remember the stat, and I don't want to like misstate the stat, but it's something like in 1910, the skin cancer rate was like 5%, and now it's extremely higher. It's gone up 100 times in 100 years. And why is that? It kind of makes no sense because we are much less in sun exposure than we were 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we were still essentially a manufacturing, say goodbye to that. That's all went to the third world in China. In an agricultural economy, we were out in the fields, working in the fields. Now we all work indoors. We're all in offices. We're in a service sector economy, aside from, you know, contractors and construction workers who are getting a lot of sun. So if we're getting less sun, dramatically less sun than we were even 40, 80, 100 years ago, why is our skin cancer rate so high now? And my belief is that, again, it's the toxins in the food, the toxins in the air, the toxins in our house. We've already talked about things being sprayed. We talked about the fidget spinners, but that's just, you know, one thing. There's tons of chemicals in our house, oxybenzone, all these things that are getting us sick. And the old saying is the skin is an external revealer of an internal malady. So when you get skin cancer, you might not necessarily be getting it because of UVA. You know, you're one of those leather European women. If you've ever gone to Europe or Latin America, you see those like women who've been out in the sun for like 12 hours a day for their whole life and they look all leathery. Yeah. Okay. You might be one of those people, or you might be in tanning booths or tanning salons, which we know are class one carcinogen, guys. The old days of tanning and those tanning booths, you know, those ultraviolet tanning booths, is long gone. If anything, watching those Final Destination movies where a girl dies in one of those tanning booths should be one reason not to do it. But the other reason is we all know they're bad. So you got to stop those. But going back, so if you're in tanning booths or you're one of those leather Euro women, okay. But the majority of us are not in that, but we're still getting skin cancer. And it's because we get all these toxins in our body and then it just rises to the surface, so to speak, to our skin. Okay. So that's just something to consider. So you want to question a lot of what the typical medical establishment says because they are typically bought out. And I hate to be the cynic, but they are typically bought out. You know, big pharma, big chemical has gotten their hands so much. We've talked about the revolving door, and maybe I need to have a podcast just on the revolving door, but I've mentioned in a lot of the articles at naturopathicearth.com about how the people that run the FDA are essentially high-level employees of big pharma, big food, big cosmetics, and there's a definite conflict of interest. So, in closing, less than 2 hours, don't use sunscreen at all. Don't use sunscreen. Get the vitamin E. Get out in the sun. Don't be in the shade. If you're going to be in the sun a lot, okay, then put the oxide and dioxide, zinc oxide, titanium dioxide on your face and wear a lot of clothes. And then take off the clothes when you want to get some vitamin D. Protect your face. Wear clothes. But as a whole, don't use sunscreen. That is my recommendation because it's a lose-lose. You're getting the xenoestrogens of the sunscreen, the hormone disruptors, plus you're inhibiting the body's ability to absorb vitamin D. And I've already told you vitamin D is crucial, 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 crucial to the body. All right. That's all I got to have to say today. Enjoy your middle of the week in early June and read my articles, read my recipes. I try to post something at least every day. Tell your friends about the podcast. Again, Kate and I, we're Mawpaw. We have a lot of kids and we just try to do this on the side. It's our little fun side gig. We don't make any money off of it at all. But we're kind of like we get money from just being known. So all you guys who are posting reviews or we hear from you in social media, thank you so much. It just makes the work worthwhile, just knowing that we're reaching people. So just tell people about us. We are not corporate at all by any means. Again, we still don't know how to do half this stuff IT-wise. But either way, thank you very much. Take care and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Courtesy of Art of Escapism.